we have the hilarious and charming Cameron Esposito in the house, y'all. Whoop, whoop. Always over the top, Cameron's birthday is coming this weekend. How is she planning on celebrating it with her many girlfriends? Check her out at the Lincoln Lodge on Thursday and Friday in Chicago, and this Monday at Bingo Night at Hamburger Mary's.
Listen as we talk with Cameron about the upcoming U.S. election. Sarah Palin is on the cover of Newsweek, pores, mustache, wrinkles, and all, painting an unflattering picture of the vice presidential nominee.
But what everyone's waiting for is Nailin' Palin, the new adult video recreating the Tyrant of the Tundra as a sex-loving slut.
Kenyan Rangers are now outfitting angry, smashing elephants with devices that send text messages to villagers when it's nearby.
A Wisconsin resident is making news for carving a boat out of a giant pumpkin. How cute is that? Is the pumpkin boat the new must-have lesbian wedding accessory?
Say hello to Hello Kitty, specially branded religious accessories.
The 105-year-old virgin.
La pequeña Hillary Hulk.
And how you, too, can become a virtual eunuch in China. I'm Mark Billion.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
And I'm Cameron Esposito.
And this is Feast of Fools.
I am very angry.
Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic listeners just like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation.
Get a mug, get a t-shirt.
Your contributions make it possible.
Thank you.
Feast of Fools is also brought to you, in part, by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears, your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org, hit the sweet spot.
Oh yeah.
Is your name a Spanish name or an Italian name?
It is an Italian name. However, I would not say that to my Logan Square neighbors.
That's true.
Because I do get, I think, special benefits.
So how do you pronounce your name in Spanish? Like when you're at a Mexican food restaurant and you have to tell
and
your order.
I have to order my name?
Yes.
So I'm like, tonight I would like Esposito. That's not true. That was Italian.
That
See, I can't
Italian.
Even say it. I can't
gotta,
say
you
it.
You have to say Esposito.
Esposito.
Try it with
Camarones.
Me.
Camarones.
That's
Camarones,
right, that's shrimp.
Esposito.
I'm very short, so it's
a la Esposito.
She's into shrimping.
I just love Italian men, though, you know. And in Mexican men.
You should
men.
Go to Italy Italian someday. Women. You'd love it.
It's the country of flavor.
They all kind of look like you. All Italian men kind of look like
Mark
two
and
of you.
Fausto.
Really?
Two
no,
of
you. Get out of here.
Attractive,
dark,
talented.
Dark, rugged. You know.
Hey, I like this girl. Mm-hmm. Well, let me introduce you once again. It is Cameron Esposito, the delightful, the hilarious. And she writes on her hand, Cameron performs at the Lincoln Lodge Thursdays and Fridays at 9 p.m. all through the year. You gotta go check her out. She is one of the funniest comedians I've personally seen in Chicago.
Because we saw you not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, and I have to apologize for heckling you.
And I don't think you should ever apologize for
really?
That. Really? Because, you know, friendly fire is really what it is. And to be ready for the war that is stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. you have to be able to go through those drills.
Because I was a little worried. I thought you were making it up because she was wearing, she said that she had ripped her pants, but you were wearing like a long skirt over your pants. So I was just like, prove it. And she lifted up her skirt and sure enough, it was her ass hanging out of her jeans.
Yep.
But now I see you've, are those the same jeans,
They're
aren't
the
they?
The same jeans.
And now you've sewn them up. You put a Feast of Fools star
on
your
ass.
I did.
My girlfriend did it. My girlfriend sewed a little star on the
That is so nice.
My jeans.
Oh, so do you feel like you're in a sort of adversarial relationship with your audience?
Actually, never.
Then
no.
Why are you calling it war?
Well, I guess I feel like I'm in an adversarial relationship with business, you know?
With
but
the business.
The audience is on
Have
my
you ever
side.
Had like a where it's turned ugly with a heckler, though? And you're just like, oh my God, this person's ruining my act. What do I do?
You just shut him down.
Really?
Yeah.
You call it, what do? You insult them?
No. You do not insult them. I don't insult them. I just engage them for a moment. What's going on? How are you? And then bam, this is my show. And usually,
so the bad part is when you hit them over the head with a rubber chicken.
That's right. Then there's a violent interaction, and I
the medics are called, and
they all cry.
And everybody cries.
Because you don't want to mess with Cameron. She's got muscle.
I do. I have. You can't
see. Let me flex.
See,
let me squeeze your bicep.
Honey,
that's tight.
Well,
now why are you writing all over your body? You have like all this hieroglyphics.
I think that's what they're called.
Hieroglyphics.
I think it's called
pyroglyphs. You have like a,
you know, they have like iPod touches for that, so you don't have to, or yeah, like email alerts. You don't have to write on your hand anymore.
I'm super low tech.
Really?
You guys don't understand. Yeah,
let me see what's on your hand right now. It says BOA.
Yeah, because I have to go to my bank. Which has those. I have to go to my bank, and then I have to fight and feed a boa constrictor at the bank. The dead boa constrictor into my account, which equals $5.
Did you know the boa constrictors, they shit a little piece of calcium from the bones of the animals they eat. It comes out just like a little tiny calcium turd.
Well, if you take too much fiber, your shit's going to come out in the pellets like that, you know? You have to balance it out.
It's got to be balanced. You got to balance fiber, yeah.
Yeah, I've been I started up on the fiber again, and I think I took too much. Mm-hmm. And that's the short end of it.
We've all been there. Everyone at home is thinking that they've also been there.
Because they're selling fiber that you can put in your coffee in the morning, and it dissolves, and you taste it. Because the average adult doesn't get enough fiber in their diet. Mm. And we're all about booty health on the show. So we want to encourage our listeners to have that fiber.
Got to keep your colon clean.
Yeah.
You know, there's no two ways about it. It's so important for your health. So what ways do you keep your colon clean, Cameron?
Yeah. On today's show, Cameron Esposito shares with us tips and tricks on keeping her colon clean.
And you know, I'll say, I don't want to call you guys out on this or anything, but this is not the first time I've been asked this in an interview. So if you could just be a little bit more original next time. Because it's usually like, where were you raised? And then immediately transitions into the colon question. And I'm always like, can you ask me more about my comedy or something?
Tell us about your coming out process.
That was on the last show.
Can we ban that question?
I want to talk about her book.
What? You're working on a book?
Yeah, I'm working on a... No.
That looks more like a collection of napkins.
It's a collection.
That looks like you believe in conspiracy theories and you wear an aluminum hat.
You know,
aluminum foil hat on your head. Because you've got this book that's like notes with rubber bands all over it.
Here's what my apartment looks like.
Is the book.
Yeah,
is
my apartment looks
a physical manifestation.
It looks exactly like just little piles of paper because I constantly need to remember jokes and also bank deposits and other things like that, and I have the worst memory in the world, so I just write it on whatever, like for instance gum wrappers, and then there'll be like gum wrappers all over my apartment, which
so
that
you
doesn't look nice.
So
I mean,
you're
generally
like one of those writers that if you're walking down the street, you come up with a funny idea, you have to write it down, and then you okay, so you've put together,
or text it to myself,
or you text it to yourself, so you have this collection of ideas, then from there you put together your stand-up routine.
Yeah, I try it out.
Because it seems when I watch you performing on stage, like you don't know what you're going to say next.
Oh, that's...
Is that intentional?
That's sometimes true. That's sometimes true. I started as an improviser, so part of what like gives me a huge rush on stage is figuring things out and trying to connect the dots right there. But I am working.
You don't seem very convinced of that.
I am. Well, it's because it's... That's generally how I've operated, but I now realize, as I get older and wiser, that perhaps specificity and a tight set, which applies to, you know, many things in my life, if you were to ask me about my tight sets.
Okay, Cameron, open up the book and let's look inside.
What do you got for us in that book?
Show us inside. So this is Cameron's book. First thing I see is
myspace.com.
A hot girl's email address. That's not a joke.
This is instructions on how to do the Heimlich maneuver, but I've written...
Let me take a look at this. So you tore this off of a book.
Of
so if someone ever chokes, they're not going
to
have this.
I'm not going to know what to do.
Have you ever given the Heimlich?
I haven't. No. Have you given the Heimlich?
My brother did to my sister once.
Okay.
A piece of
and
steak came
okay?
flying out of her mouth.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here in the notes, you wrote no physics, Hulk, what happened, replay list, footing, scales.
I don't understand any of that.
That is what I wrote.
That is what I wrote. And I don't understand how you can. It's crystal clear. And especially if you look at the diagram
so
next to it.
So how high were you when you
You're like, man, this would be, this Heimlich maneuver routine would be great.
Well, imagine if the Hulk did give you a Heimlich maneuver.
Well, he'd kill
he'd
you.
He'd fucking crush you.
Yes.
You know, you'd, he'd,
but
what
you know
you,
what? I think that people who are very powerful, yeah, like the Hulk, understand eventually how to control that power.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's a big part of the saga. If you guys follow Hulk science, kind of a big deal.
How to control it?
Oh yeah.
Hulk,
yeah.
No smash.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, because he's a big, he's a friendly guy, you know.
Because you
and
know,
how about La Pequeña Hillary?
La Pequeña Hillary Hulk.
Hulk.
Wow, we watched this just a moment ago.
Yes, describe, Cameron, describe to the listener who is La Pequeña Hillary Hulk.
Small female impersonator of miscellaneous Spanish-speaking origin.
I think she's Chilean. Yes.
Well, I should have guessed that.
yeah, how dare you?
It's implicit.
And then the upshot of this film, and I do mean film, is, you know, Hillary Clinton so upset, turns into the Hulk. But the shocking thing for me about the film, you know, when she rips off
her dress, yeah,
it's a man's chest, you know, a small man's chest. And
oh, you wanted breasts.
I wanted accuracy.
You wanted She-Hulk.
I wanted
some muscle.
Because She-Hulk actually has great, she's a voluptuous lady.
She is voluptuous. There's this guy that we work out with. His name is Doug, and he's this big, giant muscle guy. And I keep begging him every year for Halloween, please go with She-Hulk for Halloween. Please. And he's just like, no, I wouldn't. So some muscular guy here in Chicago, whoever listens to the show, if you're muscular, do She-Hulk for Halloween. You'll
please
love it. Please.
And we're actually going to be out on the streets on Friday, October the 31st. With a camera crew. And are you joining us? Come on.
Sure. Yes, okay. I am.
You have to do the gay parade.
Yeah. You have to do the gay parade. And so we're going to be out there and attacking people and
we'll be dressed
interviewing
like pandas.
Them. We'll be dressed as pandas. Cameron will be dressed. What are you dressing up for Halloween?
God, I actually haven't. And this is boring, but I haven't figured it out yet.
You should dress up as a ballerina.
That would be cute.
That would be so
stupid.
Weren't you a cheerleader? Ballerina. I did for like 8 years. I had to go to ballet class. It was the worst.
You could be She-Hulk.
I would be She-Hulk. Would you?
But it'll be cold outside, though.
And it requires a leotard. So really, the exact same thing as a ballerina. There's only marginally different. You know, it's just the same problem. Same base problem.
Let's see the rest of your book. I'm really curious to see your, you know, because lesbians like to talk about the process. You know what it is?
Lesbians love the process.
They like more the road to where you're going than the actual destination.
You like this one because
maybe it's because it echoes the sexual act. It's, you know, that because if you're in a heterosexual relationship, you always hear that the guy's complaining that the girl in the relationship wants to have more foreplay.
Yes.
But for me, I'm like, it's foreplay. What's that?
I know. Tell me about it.
I'm like, it's about the cum shot, baby.
Oh, we're so different. We have so much to learn
and
from
so
each
maybe,
other.
Maybe the fact that lesbians like to discuss the process on how something is achieved comes from the fact that it echoes their sexual activity.
You know, that was a really sweet way of saying it's hard for me to fit in sex if I have to leave in 10 minutes. But, you know, well, doesn't mean I don't try.
But I mean, do you think, is there any, like, is this insight or this attempt to create insight into the a stereotype that women, lesbian women have, is there any accuracy to this?
I mean, I would be lying if I said that. Sometimes I have had this, I have had the experience of just looking across the bed and going like, sweetie, we just don't have enough. We just can't do it. It would require
days. But then they have vibrators though too. And like women can have an orgasm with a vibrator in like 30 seconds.
No, but it's not about the orgasm. It's like, it would require our deep physical connection, starting with our eyes, you know, like we've got to look at each other. Make the...
Where's your violin? Play your violin.
That would help me for later tonight.
I'll play the slow version of the Hulk theme.
I can start now.
That is the Hulk theme.
I mean, do you think that when you're connecting with... If you're going home with a girl for the first time... And you pull out a vibrator. Is that
appropriate for a first date for lesbians?
Yeah. Is that wrong? Because like if a guy pulls out like porn on the first date with me and we're like in bed together.
Or a dildo.
I'm like, it's over. I'm like, look, dude, I'm just here. I'm just one of your props. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't even, yes, I don't think I would want that to be, yeah, there's no way I would pull that out. I mean, the reason you're going home with her is to bang chicks, am I right?
Right.
Bang chicks, am I right?
Right. The last time you were on, at the end of the show, at the very, very end of the show, and I don't know if a lot of our listeners caught this, we asked what you were doing after the taping of the show, and you're like, honestly? I'm like, yeah, of course. What, we want you to lie? And you said that you and your girlfriend were going out on a date with another girl.
That's right.
What happened in your open relationship?
Okay, all the audience at home can all go, woo.
That's right. That's what you're supposed to do. And there's always, because I do actually talk about this on stage sometimes. A lot of people go woo, and then there's always the one person whose arms are crossed and they're just shaking their head. And that's because I know that's the person that's tried this. Because everybody else who's...
they're the person that got cheated on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was chill. Like, but things between my girlfriend and I were very chill. It was actually the third party that... She was very, very nice and extremely hot, disarmingly hot. God, I'm so disarmed by hot women. It's like really devastating. but also just flaky. She was a little bit flaky. And so...
Well, she can be because she's hot.
She can be. Ah, I know, right? God, what a catch 22. I'm like, I'll forgive everything you've done. Yes,
exactly. You're hot. You're hot.
What, you need us to pick you up and then take you home? Fair enough. How long do we get? 5 minutes? Okay. But I mean, yeah, it's so... It just kind of fizzled. It kind of fizzled. And
well,
it,
how many dates did you have?
We had many dates.
Oh, did
we
you?
We were so charming gentlemen.
It was a romance.
We went on like 5 or 6 dates.
Oh, my goodness.
And each of them lasting 5 or 6 hours. And there was this like crescendoing makeout session, which was really wonderful. And
wow.
Uh-huh.
And that was the last of it? What did you get? Did you get to knock off a piece?
Break off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
We were very close to the bedroom, and I was just the, you know, like, have you ever been in this position where you're just, you're present, but your eyes are on the bedroom door?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
can
yeah.
we just get there?
Yeah,
if we so could just get there.
Everything's going to happen. Because then once you're in the bedroom, they can't leave because, like, that lock and then the padlock that you have on the door.
That's right.
They're stuck.
That's right. Also, usually I'm this kind of lesbian. Usually if I was solo, that's when I would have, like, just picked her up. You know, just
She-Hulk
picked her up,
style.
carried her right in. But then, you know, you're trying to be like kind of inclusive and there's 3 people. So there was no picking up.
And so what happened? So it was just make out and that's it?
It was like she said she had to go home. Isn't that devastating? I'm so jealous.
Probably listening to this.
Was that the last was that the last time you saw her?
We saw her again after that for like a Mexican food. I mean, I think that's kind of. Generally,
is that
Mexican
the breakup? Is that Mexican? Is
well,
that
the antithesis
food?
Of sexy.
Mexican food can be very sexy.
Yeah, but sometimes, especially
not
if you
Mexican
eat a lot.
Not the Mexican place, I guess.
But you know what? If you're having a lot of spicy food,
yeah.
that, like Italian food or Mexican food, with a lot of herbs and garlic mm-hmm. in it, chances are you're not going to have sex afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or like pizza.
Right. So we were pushing the margarita. Like
sushi is sex food.
Drink more, eat less. Drink more, eat less.
Ooh, I could go for a margarita right now.
I'll make you one.
I was like, that sounds good.
You know, though, this is actually the, and I tell this as a joke, but this actually happened. This is like the pinnacle of strange that happened from this relationship. My girlfriend and I were talking over our coffee table one morning, mm-hmm. and we were trying to get this girl to call us back, and
so isn't
you're
it like
plotting.
Weird? Because if you're one person and another person's chasing you, that can be intense. But when it's 2 people,
oh my god, right?
And they're
we
both talking,
way too
and
intense.
You know that they're talking
way
about you.
Intense.
That's when it becomes a conspiracy.
Especially,
so you were conspiring with your girlfriend across the coffee table. What happened?
Well, no, we're just 2 little broken-hearted, broken-winged birds. I said she didn't call. She didn't call us back. She was like. No, she didn't call us back. And I was just like, I think we're going to be alone forever, the 2 of us.
We're going to have to look at each other.
We're going to be alone for
what do you think about that, Mark?
I think it's hysterical. That's funny.
So your birthday's coming up this weekend.
How old are you going to be?
I'm going to be 27.
Whoa! And so are you going to maybe... This girl that you've been trying to hook up with
will hear the show and want to
and
come
she'll,
by.
Yeah, she'll be like,
you,
I didn't realize how smart and funny presents. She was.
She actually listened to the last.
Did she?
Yeah, because I told her. Well,
you know what? Maybe she has a Google alert on you.
Maybe. God, I hope
What's
so.
A Google alert, Mark?
Just Google alerts, and you go there, and you can set up a Google alert so that anytime anything is written about, like, a topic that you like, you'll get an email sent to you, and you can have it sent it to you, like, as soon as it happens, or daily, or weekly. Oh,
so it's amazing. A good way to stalk somebody, too.
Oh, yeah.
So if somebody writes about somebody on their blog, I think, like, sites, social networking sites like MySpace and Facebook.
We get some for Facebook, though,
a little bit sometimes, but I think it doesn't index them as well as they should.
Because I just have some set up for, like, our names and, like, Feast of Fools. And
no, you have a set up for a lot of
things. I do.
What are the other ones?
I do.
Well, we can't say that on the show.
I can't say on the show.
But they're wonderful. Chances are, if you're listening to this, yes, we're doing a Google alert on you. We're spying on you.
Yeah.
Because we're tight with Google. You know, we can find out where you live, if you donated to the show. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, we know all about you. The stalking is a two-way street in new media.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They've already invited you into their home, and so you're just taking advantage of that.
So, we're looking around their apartment right now.
That's right.
So you're going to get a cake? You're going to do the whole thing on the weekend?
And I think so. I think we're having, like, a big bowling party.
Oh, how fun.
Ooh. Yeah, that'll be cool. I'm really excited.
Are you good at bowling?
I'm terrible at bowling, I think.
Yeah, I suck at it. So why were you going to spend your birthday on a game that you suck at?
Because it doesn't...
You don't
I mean,
should
I'm sorry,
lose
I'm sorry to any
so
bowlers out there, but it just... Bowling doesn't matter. Who does bowling matter to? Bowling does not matter to me.
It does matter if you're on a team and stuff like that, because I was actually in a bowling league, and we'd have this girl on our team, and she just didn't care. And we're like... She didn't care
to
the point where it was like it brought everybody down because she didn't care. You got to care a little
bit. No, I'm not taking anyone down in flames with me. I'm only inviting other people who also don't care, and then we'll just, you just throw something heavy at things that stand up.
That don't ever have a chance.
That's the whole game. It's a fun game.
What I liked about Mark's bowling league is that there was always these hot guys there, mm-hmm. and it was all these chicks and Mark mm-hmm. hitting on them.
I wasn't hitting on them.
And Mark, like, when he gets around straight people, he kind of becomes one of them.
I'm chameleon like that.
He's a chameleon.
They don't know what's coming. I'm like a stealth ninja. And then all of a sudden, it's like the mouth on the cock, and then they're down.
Right at the alley, too. Spare. And then immediately.
And there was that one guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was
a stud.
How did the dudes respond to you?
He moved to, like, Joliet or something. No, most of them was terrible. He's exaggerating. But most of them was a very friendly time.
So you're at the Lincoln Lodge. We're talking at Cameron Esposito every Thursdays and Fridays at 9 p.m. And you're
until May.
So, but go now. Don't wait till May.
No, I mean,
you should tell people it's till May. Do what theaters do. Be like, until the end of October. And then in the
extended.
End of November. Extended. December. Extended.
Due to popular demand. That's how I always.
Runaway hit.
I always.
January, February, March.
Actually, usually I do that in the middle of a set. I'll be like, I have 2 minutes. And then after 2 minutes, I'm like, due to popular demand, I'll do 5 more minutes. You know? And then at the end of that, I've been extended. You know? And I usually charge more money, too, at each interval.
So you pass the hat around and be like, give some money. Yeah.
Give me some money, man.
That's why I'm rich.
Now, what is the joke that you like to end? Because every comedian sort of has that, you know. Ellen DeGeneres was the joke where she got thrown off of a boat and tried to swim for her life.
Really?
You remember that? And they're like, no. The parents said, they weren't trying to teach you to swim.
My big closer?
Yeah, your big closer.
You want my big closer?
Yeah.
Am I telling you a joke right now, interpersonally?
Well, you can just talk about the topic. You don't have to tell us the joke. But why is this your closer? Because a lot of comedians have that one favorite joke they'd like to end with.
So a lot of my stuff is kind of heady and intellectual.
You're like the Seinfeld school.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice the way that when you're like licking a vagina?
I don't have that joke. That's not a joke I have. I've never had that joke. I never have said a thing
about
Tang.
What's with those strings on them tampons? I mean, really?
Why do they have to be so long?
I really need wings? Sorry to reduce you to very fundamental.
So crass, Faust.
I really apologize to all the women.
Terrible.
Ladies. To all the ladies who listen. Okay, so what is your final joke?
Well, I talk about my lady is from South Africa. I talk about how...
That's already making me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, hilarious. Other cultures. Not America? Weird. Yeah. So her favorite food in South Africa is something called bavril. And bavril is meat spread. It's meat spread. It is liquid meat. This is something that they have in their culture. And I asked her she was talking about why she likes it so much. And I said, well, why do you like it so much? And she said, I like it because it's really great for dipping cheese into. And that just, that right there, I was just like, explosion, that's the most hilarious joke I've ever written in my own head based on what you just said. Because, you know, cheese is solidified
cow milk.
And meat spread is liquefied, formerly solid cow. So the fact that this is her favorite food is... it just requires so much processing. I'm completely enamored by her taste buds.
Like, your girlfriend's a lot of work.
Oh God!
Very sublime.
Women. And you know,
that's just not kosher either.
Yeah, I know. It's like you're offending South Africans, Jews, women.
That's right. She sews everybody. The pants. She sews my pants.
Oh my!
She sews your pants. She does work for you.
So you're going to be at Hamburger Mary's on Bingo Monday night.
On the 20th.
Raising money for your sitcom.
Yeah, I'm working on a short sitcom. So it's the episodes are each 5 minutes long. We've already shot the pilot. And I'm working with a local filmmaker named Steve Delahoyd, who is really amazing. If you're listening right now, you should...
Steve.
You should look up his stuff.
SteveDelahoyd.com.
I think that's true.
How the hell do you spell Delahoy?
It's D-E-L-A-H-O. Y-D-E.
Because you know your lesbian stalkers are going to go there.
And he's amazing. He's a top tier filmmaker in the city. So I'm really stoked to be working with him.
So you're playing bingo. Are you going to be pulling balls on Monday night? Because as a lesbian, that's got to be
I'm
going to
be pulling balls
kinda...
on Sunday night. Just at home.
Ben
Random balls.
I always, because that's what I do on Sundays. I try to connect to heteros and gay men.
Yeah.
By expanding my workout regimen, really, more than anything.
So you're asking people to come. Hamburger Mary's at what, 8 o'clock on Monday?
It's 8 to 10. It's
8 to 10, and they sit there, and they're going to eat some burgers and play bingo.
Play some bingo.
And you're going to tell some jokes and stuff? And
there might be jokes. I mean, jokes? God, I'm hilarious, you know?
You are
so
funny.
It's hard for jokes not to come out.
Have you ever gotten fired from a job or told to shut up because you tell too many jokes?
Actually, you wouldn't believe this, but I'm actually really, really professional at work.
Really?
Yeah, yes.
You don't sit there and make fun of the boss behind his back?
No.
And like,
no.
Did you see him when came out? He did that, you know, and I thought, whoa, hey.
Especially since...
Am I right, ladies?
Well, I do say that, but that's just about lunchtime. Am I right, ladies? And then people are like, that's not a joke. That's just...
You ever notice the difference between men and women? I mean, like that, men do the... And then women go...
Turn in memos, men don't turn in. That's what I say at work.
You do that?
No, I don't say that. My
Karen's looking away, going, how much longer do I have to put this in?
Show will be over soon, Karen.
Don't worry, Karen.
What are you talking about? I couldn't be happier. You guys made me herbal tea.
Oh, I know.
Well, you're a lesbian.
Better.
What else am I going to make?
Nothing.
You?
Keep
you
know? It.
Well, make her like
a
cup of coffee.
I thought about renting a cat.
I hate cats. Really? That's the one thing. I hate cats.
What kind of lesbian are you?
Oh, I will. If you have a cat in your house and I am house sitting, I will let your cat out. I will let your cat out and I will make your cat fend for itself.
Do you like dogs?
Dogs are okay. I'm not a huge animal fan.
Really?
My parents have a Shih Tzu.
Oh.
Which is kind of...
I don't know what that is.
It's a dog, but a dog that has human hair. And yeah.
What's the difference between dogs and cats? I mean, really, they're just animals that eat things and live in your house.
Cats are so sneaky. At least dogs are all in that. They're like out in the open about
sneaky.
Like,
dogs
I'm about
are sneaky
to scratch
too.
My everything, you know, but no, cats are like.
You know where I divide the line between a cat and a dog?
What?
Cats bite.
That's true, and they claw, and
dogs
fart in your room.
But like if a dog acted like a cat, you put that dog out.
What?
People put up with
that's
cats.
Right.
Because cats, you'll be petting a cat, and all of a sudden it goes, and it bites you in the hand.
Oh, that's
and
adorable.
Go, oh,
she's
just wanting to bite.
She wants her scratching post. No, this is a terrible animal.
But dogs do that too. Dogs bite all the time. Dogs
if a
bite.
Dog bites like that, he's going to get it.
That's right.
He's going to be like, bad dog. You are so bad. Let me put you in your cage. You're locked away. Oh, we're going to have to, you know, check for rabies.
People do
you
that
know?
With cats, though, too.
And then the cats have those nails, and they're just like little needles.
Mm-hmm.
I love cats.
You got to trim them.
Oh, yeah.
You got to trim the nails.
It's just about, I feel like every time I'm petting a cat or dealing with a cat, I feel it like I'm petting a raccoon.
Mm.
Like it could turn on you.
Well, it could turn, yeah.
You know?
The problem with cats is, though, too, is like a lot of people, they don't raise them properly. Because if you raise a cat properly and you play with it and you show it affection, they're very sweet, sweet animals. But a lot of people, the reason why they're interested in getting a cat is because it's something they can ignore. They just think of it as like, course it is. You know, and I can just ignore it all the time, and it's going to be normal. Well, a pet's not going to be normal if you ignore it.
Hence, if you die, the cat will eat you.
And they say, like, kittens from the time that the they're born should be held by a human at least 20 minutes a day from the time that they're born.
No, people are the same way.
Yeah. So hold if you me. If you don't hold a cat, it's not going to want to be held. Some can be learn to become affectionate, but... Okay.
I only hold humans who don't shed on me. Oh, God, I hate cats. Creep. Okay, I feel like they shed in my eye sockets. Anyway, continue.
So we got news here for you. You guys know Sanrio, the Japanese company that creates the popular line of pencil erasers, pencils, notebooks, stickers, pajamas. Cars,
pencil guns, cases.
Tanks.
Everything that they could stick a little picture of an abstract cat called Hello Kitty.
I think they also make Asian people.
And they make Asian. They build robots. This week they came out with religious icons to sell. The Japanese Sanrio website. They have rosary pendants that go for about $80. For a rosary pendant with Hello Kitty instead of like Jesus or like something like God, or it has a picture of Hello Kitty in the center.
You should buy one for the
nuns. This is true. And then if for the Jewish people, they have yarmulkes with Hello Kitty on top.
That's idolatry, isn't it? I don't think.
Well, it's not.
Isn't that like having?
I don't think it is, because it's decorating something that's a symbol of your religion.
Wow.
So it's like putting a sticker on a cross or rosary.
Yeah, which you don't do.
Generally, you don't. No.
But Japanese people, you know, they look at your culture and your religion and they go, well, let's try this.
Like, but I think like a nun praying the rosary, or my mother who prays the rosary, isn't going to want to have Hello Kitty on it. Even though my mother's name is Kitty, she wouldn't want that.
She probably would want that.
Maybe
she would.
Maybe that would be a good gift for her.
Because you could get, you know, probably Sanrio probably will sell something with the word Kitty on a rosary, and then you could. Well, that's a perfect Mother's Day present.
I'll get her that for her birthday coming up.
It's $80. You know,
or maybe
it's kind
I'll
of
just get her the yarmulke because it's cheaper.
So now the yarmulke is always going to be cheaper, of course.
That's right.
The Jewish listeners at home are going, grrr.
This is the cutest thing. I'm so in love with the story, and I want to see this guy. And hopefully, we'll get some more pictures. So there's this guy, and his name is Jay Hildebrandt, and he's grown a giant pumpkin in Wisconsin, right? And he's gonna hollow it out, convert it into a boat, and paddle 150 miles down the Wisconsin River. What's cuter than a pumpkin boat?
Two lesbians in a pumpkin boat.
That's right. That's
I think like Cameron and her many wives.
That's could my go, minions. Yes.
Could go in that boat and like have a lesbian orgy.
Because I guess they have like pumpkin races every year. Like
we'd turn that over. Very vigorous.
You would. You'd be like,
yeah, that would.
So this guy's
the boat is rocking. Don't come knocking.
But this guy's expecting it's gonna smell after a while, because you know you can't keep a pumpkin around forever.
Well, you want that to be fresh, but it's green because it decomposes.
That's true.
Unlike a lot of boats.
I wonder if he's bringing food with him, or if he's just planning to
eat boat.
Pumpkin. Yeah.
Peter, pumpkin eater.
Chip a little bit away each day.
Well, it's interesting because the pumpkin at least in some literature is a symbol of the woman's uterus.
What?
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know anything about that. Peter pumpkin eater.
I guess there are seeds inside. Is that where we're going with?
It's sort of the
stringy.
Well, it's also this hollow enclosure that has life inside.
You carve it.
That's right.
And then you stick a candle in it, and kids come up to it.
But it is. It's a symbol of fertility, and certainly, you know.
I think the Native Americans have like a. There was a
pumpkin goddess
or something like that. Yes.
And so it is sort of, it would make sense that it'd be the ultimate lesbian wedding boat.
That would be, instead of being like straight people that get married with a horse and carriage and stuff like that, lesbians in a pumpkin boat.
We just started a trend today.
That's also the name of my future band, Lesbians in a Pumpkin Boat.
Oh, do you want to just shorten it to Pumpkin Boat?
The Pumpkin Boat.
Well, the lesbians in it, I guess, is always implied. Yeah. Just very much like La Pequena or whatever.
La Pequena.
What's implied about her?
Shame on you, Cameron. When you mispronounce my names of my culture, you insult me. I'm just kidding.
Just joking.
Okay, so the British firm that plans to launch tourists into space, Virgin Galactic, from Spaceport America, has turned down an offer from a porn company to shoot a video a sex video in outer space for $1 million.
They turned down $1 million.
They turned down $1 million to do a space in space, sex in space movie.
You know what? Maybe not for long. Because actually, I was listening to the radio the other day. They were talking about how NASA needs a huge budget to continue. And, you know,
maybe
I
NASA
hear things
do
are going a little bit rough right now in the economy.
I wouldn't mind going up to that Russian space station.
Uh-huh. Me too.
Showing although a little it smells. Up there.
You know, because farts don't escape in space.
They don't? I think they have air purifiers and stuff like that.
You know, those. You know,
have
they
you
have
heard
to economize.
This somewhere, or is this just...
I'm just known just from reading Wikipedia that when astronauts land in the sea and they open the shuttles, they go, phew, that stinks in there.
Well, they also don't bathe up there either, I don't
Not
think,
really.
They?
Well, because they kind of bathe,
like
you know.
But haven't you ever, like, farted in a jar and sealed it and then, like, a couple years later come back and open it up and smell it?
Is that possible?
Did you? Have you done
no, but I think it would be a good idea.
I think you're high.
I think you might be covering something up there. No, I've never done that. Speaking I don't know why.
Speaking of porn, so they started filming of the Nailing Palin.
Yes.
So the porno.
Sarah Palin.
The porno based on Sarah Palin. And the premise is that she's at her home in Alaska. And then two drunken Russian soldiers come by in a tank. And she invites them in for coffee and other things. So I can't wait to see that.
But you know, they showed the actress mm-hmm. who's playing the Sarah Palin porn star mm-hmm. on TMZ.com. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, she looks nothing like Sarah Palin. She looks more like Gina Gershon in Showgirls than she looks like Sarah Palin.
And that's not a bad thing.
No, but I think it'll sell. But I would really like to see somebody dressed up to the, you know, do a Tina Fey level of impersonation.
Well, they wanted somebody to be more attractive, you know. They wanted like a pretty
Sarah
person.
Palin's part of the, I want to see Sarah Palin in a full suit getting down on her knees and going sucking
up the ass.
Sucking a lot of cock and getting fucked up the ass with her suit on.
So the way you're saying that sounds like what you really want is just to see the real Sarah
that
Palin.
That wouldn't be so bad either.
There might be video evidence out there.
Yeah, I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying that, you know. Hone in on your desires and then ask the universe for it. And then the universe will provide.
just be
clear and specific, you know.
In this digital age, Cameron, anything's mm-hmm. possible.
Did you know that the kid that knocked up her daughter left high school to go get a job in the oil fields so that he can get married to their daughter so he can make an income? Isn't that crazy? Wouldn't you as parents say, why don't you finish high school first and then we'll worry about the baby and stuff
oh,
like
so
that.
Oh, so this guy, the hot stud, working in the oil fields?
He says he's still in love with her and that he does want to get married and they're thinking about doing it in December. Or the baby's due in December or something like that. So they're trying to figure it out. But, you know, finish high school first and then see. It just seems so crazy.
That's a high-tech shotgun wedding.
That is a high...
Yes,
but he
it
says
is.
It's not a shotgun wedding. He says they're
well,
in love.
Well, if it's right. a high-tech shotgun wedding, part of the rules is that you're not going to say it's a shotgun wedding.
That's, oh, yeah.
That's right.
Because why aren't they married now?
Yeah, just go get married. It'll make great publicity, mm-hmm. and it'll be fabulous for the election.
So
you know?
Devastating. Yeah. It's so devastating. Oh, God, it's really
Barack
hard to
Obama
to.
Is 10 points ahead of John McCain
as of
taping of this today.
I just feel so bad for that poor girl, because... My mom had a good point. I was watching the debates with my mom, and they were talking. She was talking about how after Sarah gets done talking, you know, the family always comes on stage, mm-hmm. and Todd
Console
comes up.
Console her.
Todd's like not doing anything. By the way, if you've ever heard him interviewed,
gentleman.
Yeah, the first dude is what they call him in Alaska. He's not doing anything. And if you've ever heard him interviewed, he doesn't even play first lady. You know, the first lady has to be like, "Well, I'll tell you the answer to that." No, he's just like, whatever, I got my pants on. You know, like he's very... he comes up, and the person that holds their baby is always the daughter. It's never...
The dad.
The dad, which
the
is...
The pregnant daughter?
Yeah, the pregnant daughter. So, you know, prepping for the future, obviously.
Trig, mm-hmm. the special needs child.
And I just think that's super intense. Like, what a position to put her in, you know. She's already mothering
old,
somebody.
Knocked up. You know, I don't know. It is a shame.
I want to thank the Republicans, though, for picking Sarah Palin and making this election season so entertaining.
Such a farce.
That's right.
It's really been wonderful. And, you know, it's coming to an end just a couple more weeks.
So how do you think the Republicans, because I'm pretty sure they're going to steal the election. How do you think they're going to do it?
Well, first of all, they're going to pull out Barack Obama like King Kong mm-hmm. in a cage and charge like $20 a person in admission. They're going to take the money from that show and sink into a campaign basically confusing the American public as Barack Obama's
is King Kong.
Is King Kong.
Gonna, I think they're going to talk about how activist judges write for Saturday Night Live. and therefore kind of spin that to their own.
Because goddamn those activist judges,
you
man.
Can't trust them.
No,
you cannot trust. You know what?
They legislate from the bench.
That's right. I like a judge who has who's passively opinionated. Mm. You know, are you educated or have a thought about things? No. Who? Can I please? I would like to see somebody who has no thoughts.
Do you think this is a problem, though, with our culture? Is that people are beginning to become more and more guarded about expressing an opinion? I mean, we've gone through this in other contexts, which we're not going to bring up here. But it's like people, you know, in a public space, they get asked a question and they go, "Well, I'm not really qualified to answer that." And I'm like, "Well, you're a human being. You have an opinion on something,
right?" But it's true. I mean, you're
and judges are human
could be
beings.
Recorded, and things can constantly come back.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like even when Sarah Palin gets interviewed, she almost acts like, you know, when she's talking about gay and lesbian people, it's almost as if they don't really exist. Like, I once knew a gay person.
I have gay friends. What gay friends? You know, you've never seen any of them.
And I would, you know, she's kind of transparent in the sense of saying, "Look, I'm not going to answer the questions. I'm just going to do a stump speech at the debates." I would appreciate her saying, "You know what? I think gay and lesbian people are wrong. I think they're sinful and they deserve to be locked up."
I'm really surprised that they haven't created more of a wedge issue about this kind of thing like they have in the past.
Times are changing.
Times are changing. They learned the pat answer, you know, which they both gave at that debate.
And exactly.
They're just like, you can't, like, they trimmed that answer and they cut it so perfectly that you can't really debate about it unless you are a gay person.
But I mean, then why don't they just make that happen? I mean, I wouldn't object to everybody having civil unions. I wouldn't object to that. I don't think there's anybody that is gay that would object.
There's some people that want the marriage thing, though.
No, but see,
it's got to be marriage.
There are churches that will marry people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, it doesn't have to be like the Catholic Church. It could be the Unitarian Church. And so civil unions for everybody and then get married in a Unitarian church.
And I was thinking in California, they had where it used to say like bride and groom. They changed it to like spouse A and spouse B.
Right.
But some people really protested against that. And I think they're bringing that back so that you can have bride and groom on your thing. Like, get a life, people. If you're that worried about it.
Well, because people get married obviously for romantic notions. Mm-hmm. Jeez, big surprise there.
I know.
And not for business reasons. And so any way that they can get sort of Uncle Sam to say, "You know, kids, you're all right."
You're all right by me.
I bless this relationship. E pluribus unium. You know, so... At the end of the day, it's like, it doesn't really matter, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's what's in your heart and your ability to financially secure your relationships. And, you know, certainly fighting Proposition 8 in California is very important because of that, because it keeps gay and lesbian people from accessing, from doing the same things that straight people can. I mean, look at Germany. So mm-hmm. this, I guess it was revealed this week, there was a musician who came out saying that he married a pineapple.
Yeah, I didn't get it. I tried to read that article and I tried to understand more about what it was.
Do you have any more information?
But it was odd. It was just like, what do you mean you married a pineapple? And he's had it for like 9 years. You carried the same pineapple around for 9 years. You know?
I just want to know if he consummated the relationship. I made a little pina colada, if you know what I'm saying.
Oi.
Super.
I was so disappointed. I bought a coconut yesterday because, you know, my husband's from Puerto Rico, so he loves
coconuts. I like my coconut. I got to get my nut on. You know what I'm saying?
I
poked a little hole in it and I heard a little pfft. And I was just like, oh, that doesn't sound good because, you know, it sounds like
fermentation.
It was fermentation or something. So I poured the milk out. I drank some of the milk. And I was just like, I don't know. So I opened it up and I cracked it open. And then there was this big blue giant like spot in it. It was like where it was decaying. I was like, I don't think this is good. So I went.
Yeah. Did you get sick?
No.
Well, I told him not to drink the water, but
I drank a little bit.
Like
before.
Homer Simpson, he drank the water.
So I don't know.
Shame on you, Mark.
I know.
Anyways, so talk about the text messaging elephant before we run out of time.
There's elephants in Kenya.
It's such a good news story.
They're raiding farms and stuff like that. And so what the rangers have done is they put collars on them. And so when they get too close to where the farms are, they leave their enclosure. They send a text message to the rangers so that they can go stop the elephants before they do damage to the field. And I was just thinking, you know, if we could get one for Rosie O'Donnell that would send us a text message whenever, you know. Just kidding.
Man, I saw that joke coming like
Yeah, you need commit to that actually a little bit more. You need to follow that joke all the way to its.
Yeah, Cameron, work with my husband.
So I just make
my husband funny.
I just have to say.
Okay.
It's. You know, you swayed at the end there. There was a very like hands up.
Well,
in the air.
Thing is, like, I just you know, I like Rosie, so I don't want to make fun of her. But I didn't know who else would be a bet. Who would be the best butt of that joke?
Well, Rosie embraces her bigness.
That's I think why, because she embraces her
bigness.
She
has a temper.
Yes, and she has a temper, mm-hmm.
And she destroys the village around her sometimes. So it would be good to give a put a cowbell around Rosie.
They should get one of those for her when she's on her Rosie cruise. So when people like up by the pool, and when they know she's coming, they're like, let's go down. To the Lido deck. Is that better?
See, people, that is better.
I managed Lido deck in there because Lido deck's funny.
You know, specificity always the key to humor.
The tiki room.
You'll teach me soon enough.
Great lesbian comedian, share with me your wisdom.
You guys can't see it right now, but I'm smoking actually, like just my body emanating.
So, speaking of smoking, the Betty Davis stamps hit. The stands hit the post offices, and they're being snatched up.
Mm-hmm.
By Americans, and people are complaining because it doesn't show Betty Davis smoking.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. Well, because it looks as though that a cigarette, because looks like she's holding a cigarette, but the cigarette's not there. And the post office has issued a statement saying it's based on that movie and it's based on a certain scene in that thing, and so it is her with her fur coat on. But the stamp is based on a painting. It's not on that scene. It's not based on a photo.
Look, that woman, she smoked while she was sleeping.
She did. She smoked all the time.
She smoked in the shower.
Her hands like this.
She just has two fingers up?
Yeah.
She's doing like this. Like, she looks like the Pope.
I was just going to say, too bad it's not the other
one. But other people are saying, well, she could be adjusting her fur coat or something. Then other people are outraged that she's wearing a fur coat. And then it was just kind of like.
Oh, right.
It just goes on. But the weird thing is like, it all happened this.
That's actually. Hilarious. Trying to appease some people, but you can never.
Well, so she was a controversial woman.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
And she probably goes into most of. If she were alive today, she would go into most U.S. post offices and say, "What a dump!" You know,
because why aren't you smoking?
Why don't you allow smoking in federal buildings?
But Roger Ebert was up in arms about it and saying she should have the cigarette, and why was it taken out and stuff
he
like that?
He lost both of his parents to cigarette
smoking.
I know,
smoking. And he wants it there. I'm just like, well.
He's kind of crazy, though.
Is he?
Shut up, old man.
And is that what happened to his?
He dated Oprah.
Is that because of cigarettes, too?
I have no. He got oral cancer, though, right? Or something.
Yeah, he has the John McCain jaw, you know.
What does that mean?
Like something fucked up happened in his jaw, and so
he had
his jaw removed. He had jaw.
What did John McCain have that makes him look funny that way?
Part of his jaw. John McCain had melanoma. He had skin cancer.
But why is his face all freaky and misshapen?
Well,
that
is because of birth and hereditary.
Yeah. And his wife is sucking the life force
out of him.
That's
also why.
She's a vampire.
She does look younger every day. She does look No, I actually agree with you that I think a little bit more could be done, Republicans, to make John McCain look, you know, less
cuter.
Formaldehyde-y. That's the adjective I use for him.
He needs some color in his skin or something
like
that.
Put a little makeup on.
He might need like a coronary, like a bypass, because my mother, before she had that quadruple bypass, she was very, very pale and very white. And the day that she got it done, because her blood started flowing again, is like she had color in her skin again. I'm like, the difference was amazing.
So Sarah Palin is on the cover of Newsweek, speaking of a Republican who puts on a lot of makeup, and Republican women are up in arms because they did not retouch, they did not Photoshop or retouch her picture.
Oh, you're talking about the one that's like super close.
Super close up. And so they show her with all her pores and all her wrinkles, but I have to say that this is the same kind of people that criticize magazines for always retouching women's images.
Well, they retouch 14-year-old girls, you know, photos. They take out wrinkles from 12-year-olds.
And I, as a person who has worked in publishing for 7 years, have to say no photo ever runs in a newspaper ever that has not been digitally retouched to some level.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just complaining that it wasn't retouched enough.
I do wonder why they, but I mean, at the same time,
they don't like her. She's a skag and they hate her.
Girl,
and they want to show
her. Looks not, she could be looking worse. I have to say, for that,
she's cute.
For that close of a...
Would you fuck Sarah Palin? If she were like a lesbian date.
That's where we
date?
Went. And then that's where the show went. And then we
well,
went
I want to know. I mean, is she a
mommy fetish?
Is she a conservative lesbian sex symbol?
She's too old for me. And I don't mean that in like a ageist way. I mean it in a ageist way.
Because she likes people a little younger.
I like chicks oh, here's my cutoff, probably 38. That's my cutoff, I think, for chicks right now.
I think if they have more than three children, that's the cutoff.
Oh, that's another thing. You know? Certainly. Or like, married to a man and very, very conservative in Alaska. That's another. I won't
generally
touch that.
The moose hunting doesn't bother you at all, though, does it?
No.
You're
no
like, moose burger, so, I'll eat it.
So it's really not the age as much as the fact that she's had children that's the big turn off, and that she's married and lives
kinda
in Alaska.
I don't know. I mean, I've never really been approached
do you
by
find
a mother.
This, do you find this woman sexy? Clara Meadmore. She is turned.
Sounds like a porn. I know. Meadmore. What?
Meadmore. She claims to be the oldest virgin alive. Turned 105 on Friday. Meadmore said in her youth, women only had sex with their husbands, and she rejected all the men who asked her to marry them. I made up my mind, and at 12, to never marry, and I've not gone back on that. I've always been too busy doing the things that people have asked me to do. People have asked me if I'm a homosexual, and the answer is no.
She actually said that?
Yes.
A 105-year-old woman's saying
I'm not a lesbian, I just don't like having sex, and I don't marry anybody.
So what are all the things she's done in her life?
She became a nun, so she went by a cloistered life on the wall, and she prayed all
day. We don't know. She loved walking and mowed the lawn in her home in Cornwall until she was 97, although now she lives in a nursing home. She's never owned a television set. Good piece of advice.
I mean, thank God, because we don't want to torture the poor 105-year-old virgin. That would be torture. Own a television. Yeah. Be 105.
See all the sex.
We should get her a hooker, you know? Give her a smile on her face before she dies, you know?
She said her sister
respect
Joe's,
her choices. Respect her choices, men.
Her sister Josie said maybe never having a man to get under her feet has kept Clara young. She has her hobbies, her friends, and that's all.
How
she
old's
needs.
Her sister?
72.
She has a younger sister.
Gap there.
Probably a religious sister, not a real sister.
You know?
Well, she's. I don't think she's her sister. I think she's more like her
religious sister.
Friend.
Oh. I don't think the issue is that she hasn't had a man get under her feet.
It was in the hole, you know.
So do you think that
under her sheets, more like it.
She strikes me as a lesbian.
Yeah, looking at that piece of paper with no particular picture. Let me look at the words again.
I'll find a picture for you to look at.
She
There's a picture.
Served in Egypt with the Women's Royal Army Corps during World War II.
Yeah.
Moved between New Zealand and London after the war.
Here we go.
She loves walking. That does sound pretty gay, actually. I mean, I was just walking
earlier.
She
was in the Army
Corps? She was in the Army Corps.
Walking is really good for burning fat.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta look for it, but I can't show it to you. She's just an old skinny.
We salute you.
I mean, you're
105 years old. More power to
She's
you.
So virginal that she's, in a way, she's kind of like a slut.
She's excessively virginal.
Yeah. It's like, it's sort of like, you know, I think the sex, the slut virgin continuum is more like a circle and not so much like a line, you know?
You know, that's interesting. Wow.
And if you're really, really, really slutty, it's like being a virgin.
Hmm.
It's helter skelter on the festival.
Wow.
There's a new thing.
Up is down. Down is up.
They have a new thing in China. Or it's not, well, it's not. You can visit, you can take a virtual tour of the Forbidden City in China. And so you can pick different characters to play as you go around and like inspect the, you know, Forbidden City. And you can do this at beyondspaceandtime.com. But one of the things you can choose to be is a eunuch. So you can just have your balls virtually cut off as opposed to actually having them cut off like John McCain.
Ooh. That's rough, Mark.
What?
Wow.
Apologize.
I wonder if your voice gets higher.
Huh? And
I wonder if you're. Oh,
that would be a castrati if you do it before you're 14.
Voice gets higher.
Yep. I am now a robot.
But the Chinese court was filled with eunuchs. They were like the imperial servants because they wouldn't fuck the women.
Okay, define or if they eunuch. Fuck the,
a eunuch means your balls are chopped off.
But you still
and
have
is
sex.
That
you're functional
and you present
sexually.
As a man, I think, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, but the eunuch would have sex with the chicks from the court, but he wouldn't get them pregnant.
Well,
you know, because he couldn't.
Because of his no
he
sperm.
Couldn't. Yes. Well, I think you still produce
semen. Not semen.
Fluid.
Ejaculate.
Right. Ejaculate, but you don't.
But there's just no swimmers.
There's just no swimmers.
All gone.
You know, and maybe I don't have any sperm either, but you still have testicles and not actually have sperm.
Foster said he had chicken pox as a teenager, and I said, you probably are sterile, and here shooting I am. Blanks. No wonder why I can't get pregnant, because you can't.
Aww. Well, you do feel like you're glowing today, though. Have you checked recently?
I haven't checked. I checked my basal body temperature earlier today, and I'm not, obviously.
Yeah, we use the temperature method for family planning. Last but not least, Tina Fey says, she said in this week's TV Guide, the award-winning comedian, Emmy award-winning, revealed what it's like spoofing Republican vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. Election time is always good for the show Saturday Night Live, and this is a bonkers election. The lady is a media star. She is a fascinating person, very likable, fun to play, and the two bits with Amy Poehler has been super fun. However, we're going to take it week by week, and if she wins, I'm leaving the planet. I'm not going to do it.
How's she going to do it? Is she going to go up in the
well, she's saying that she's not going to play Sarah Palin on Saturday Night Live in the future. So they're just going to have to get Kenan Thompson to play her.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Which will be hilarious, I'm sure.
How do you feel about the Mexican guy playing...
I think it's fabulous.
Is he Mexican?
He's Venezuelan. Yes.
Okay.
God, I'm blanking on his name.
I don't remember his name either.
Fred Armisen.
Armisen, yes.
Okay.
Ferecito. Bring back Ferecito. I do more for Ferecito than Fred Armisen does for his character.
Ferecito.
I'm just kidding. You insult my culture.
I want to tell you that today's episode was sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. Gay, sexy, healthy. Say hit the sweet spot.
Hit the sweet spot.
LifeLube.org. Go check it out. It's Jim Pickett's fabulous blog on gay men's health, happiness, and all the wonderful things that happen in the world of sex.
And I want to remind the listeners that we can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a t-shirt, or get a mug. And while you're there, comment on the show, comment on all these shows, get a profile, participate in the community forums. There's lots of fun things to talk about and new friends you can make.
And so Cameron Esposito, one more time, Lincoln Lodge, Thursday and Fridays.
You got it. And you can check out more information about me at CameronEsposito.com.
Ooh. Oh, that's good.
And Ham Bingo this Monday.
That's right. Monday the 20th.
Who wants to go to Ham Bingo? We'll be there. Maybe. Email me.
Email me. We will go.
The music featured on today's show is the music of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. The Dap Dip is available through our website, feastoffools.net. Get it, use, and don't be square, be hip, and listen to the Feast of Fools. Bye, everybody.
Bye.